Joined now by the co-editor at jaysjournal.com, fansided.com, Tyson Shushkowicz is with us. Tyson, thanks so much for joining the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And judging by your Twitter account, which people can follow, at Tyson_MLB, yesterday's game, just like the day before, and judging by your Twitter account, you were pretty emotional and involved in it, which I think a lot of us were.
Absolutely. You know, when you got a pitching duel like you had last night, and, you know, Ross Stripling coming back from the IL like he did, and, you know, George Springer coming in and putting it in the clutch hits when needed, and same as Santiago Espinal. It's after the past week and the past 10 games that the Blue Jays have had, it's kind of hard not to get a little excited about it, right?
Oh yeah, and it's, I don't know what happened, Tyson. I felt a shift just recently where every game feels more, and every game feels more emotional. And 2 days ago, they lose 4-2, and it just felt like a real kick in the stomach. And then that 6-1 win felt cathartic. And I feel like this is where we are emotionally for now to the rest of the season, is that every game is going to feel more important than it probably should, considering it is a 162-game season.
Well, at the start of the season, when you lose kind of the close game, you know, you could tell yourself, hey, you know, still quite a few games left to go in the season. But, you know, every game at the end of the day is obviously important. And right now, with how close the AL wildcard race is and how good some of these teams are, it's, you know, every game matters. And at this point in the season, you know, a slump like the Blue Jays kind of had, that could jeopardize their playoffs, right? And, you know, 3 or 4 days ago, they were first in the AL wildcard, and then as of yesterday, if they lost to Baltimore, Baltimore leapfrogged them, and the Blue Jays were out. And with that, it's exciting, but at the same sense, it's also nerve-wracking because the Blue Jays have to play so many times in the AL East still before the end of the season, you know, and with how they weren't putting the runs on the board, and, you know, there was a real threat that if Ross Stripling, you know, went the full 9 innings, could the Blue Jays put up a run?
Yeah.
And give him that perfect game that, you know, unfortunately didn't happen, but he still had such a fantastic outing. And at the end of the day, he didn't even get the win, right? Like, that's unfortunate, right? And that's because of, you know, the runs coming in a little bit later in the game. But we know with how potent this Blue Jays offense is, and it was right from the start of the season when they were down on the opening day to Texas. They could easily put up, you know, 6-7 runs in an inning. And we witnessed that last night, and the Blue Jays needed that. They really needed that to kind of set the tone for going into New York, which is going to be, once again, another really important series.
Oh, absolutely. And you saw it through the first 6 innings, 2 hits, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. And I think we were all angry because, like, Ross is doing his job. Could someone please help him out there? And it finally happened in the 7th inning. Big picture, when you look at, actually, we'll stick with Ross Stripling. The fact that he is so important, I'm curious your thoughts on it, because to me, I look at it as it's a reflection of how well he's been, and B, a reflection of injuries or regression or just disappointment when it comes to Kikuchi. Like, the amount we rely on Ross Stripling, to me, tells such a bigger story.
Well, Ross Stripling's always been, you know, a bit of a pretty important player for the Blue Jays, right? Because he can step into that bullpen role. He can step into that rotation role. You know, last year alone, he had quite a few starts on the road. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. But, you know, with Ross Stripling, he can fill in that role when needed. And because of that, it makes him pretty valuable. But at the same time, like you mentioned, not only is he filling in that role, but he's also pitching well, right? Especially since Ryu went on the IL and was done for the year. And, you know, he kind of stepped up. And at the same time, when you look at the entire rotation, you know, Gausman and Manoah have been pitching well. Berrios has been, you know, pretty inconsistent. He'll have a quality start here, and then he'll have, you know, an 8-run blow-up the next start out. And then with Kikuchi, it's just that, you know, that same kind of inconsistency that we've seen all season, which, you know, with how the Blue Jays were supposed to be such a dominant force going into the season, you know, they were ranked really high. You know, with the Chapman acquisition and then, you know, Gausman and Kikuchi signing, like, it's a lot of things kind of just went sour with that. And now that he's moved to the bullpen, which is kind of, you know, everyone was kind of expecting to see just with how his fastball command wasn't there. And he was giving up the, you know, he's getting barreled on his hits. They're just not, they're just not fooling hitters. And when you're not fooling hitters like that, and you're not going deep into games, you're really hurting the bullpen. You're hurting the team when they put up a few runs and you're kind of behind in the game already. So it's not unsurprising right now that he's moved to the bullpen, but it is surprising that he wasn't able to keep that starting rotation role when the Blue Jays first signed him and now have him for two more years.
Do you think he can have, I mean, you've watched him all year, and again, just covering the Jays for jaysjournal.com, fansided.com. Do you think he can still make an impact in the bullpen, or is he basically, his role is they're going to hide him and put him in low leverage situations?
Well, right now, I think he just kind of needs a bit of a confidence boost. And right now, you wouldn't really necessarily want to throw him out in a, you don't have that confidence to kind of throw him out in a close game like if the Yankees and the Blue Jays are within one run in the seventh or eighth. You're going to turn to other players. But at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if they're lining up Kikuchi for like Saturday for when Mitch White is supposed to be pitching. And because this season, Mitch White hasn't really gone for the start he made for the Dodgers and the Blue Jays. He hasn't gone past the five-inning mark that often. So it wouldn't be surprising if they were having Kikuchi ready to go for that Saturday, not only because of the resting situation, but also because just in case Mitch White, they're facing although the Yankees are struggling, they're still the Yankees. They could easily rally and put up a ton of runs and, just get on you really quick. And although you don't want to necessarily go to Kikuchi early, he's there kind of just in case, you need a guy that needs to go three or four innings.
Yeah, and he'll be facing against Gerrit Cole, will be pitching on that Saturday game. I'm wondering, Tyson, I threw this question out the other day. What for you, if the Jays can turn this around, and not about winning the American League East, but just becoming a team that can legitimately challenge Houston or the Yankees, what does that have to look like? What has to happen between now and the playoffs where you can see a reasonable path for this being a legitimate, dangerous playoff team?
I think with the Blue Jays, the one thing that you kind of have to, there's a couple things you have to consider, right? And with that being the kind of playoff format. So if obviously home advantage is huge here. So, winning that American League wild card, that would be a great step in the right direction, regardless of who the team is facing. Right, that always having home advantage is always a plus in the playoffs, and you know how the Rogers Center can get when there's a playoff game there. And then I think another thing to consider too is right now owning that first spot in the American League wild card is going to go a long way because if there's no tiebreaker games this year, right? So when you look at the overall big picture, the Blue Jays not only need to rank well in the wild card, get that first spot, but at the same time, if they end up in second or third, and they have an identical record as, let's say, the Mariners or the Rays, and they don't hold the series or the season record over either team, they get bounced. There is no game 163. It's, looking at the records, and then it's looking at the interleague and the interleague, et cetera. I don't recall the exact format, but right now, the Blue Jays don't play the Mariners again this season, and they don't hold the season record. They don't play the Twins again this season. They don't hold the season record. Right now, they're trailing the Rays and they're trailing the Orioles. So, ideally, I can look at the big picture and say the path is they got to play the Mariners, they got to play Cleveland, they got to play Houston. Houston actually, I know I just said I won't look at it, but Houston they actually do hold the season record on, so maybe that plays in their favor a little bit. Mind you, Houston also got better at the trade deadline with their acquisition. So, no matter what, no matter how you phrase it, it's going to be tough. Whether they're playing the Mariners, Cleveland, or someone else. But it's pretty exciting that, I shouldn't say exciting, exciting's not the right word. It's going to be a little nerve-wracking, I should say, where the Blue Jays need put more pressure on needing that first spot. And that will go a long way. And then once they get that first spot, anything, once you're in the playoffs, anything can go. And we saw that in 2022 with the Tampa Bay Rays when they got in the wild card and made it all the way to the World Series. Although they didn't win, they were there.
And they faced Atlanta, again, another team that, for most of last season, no one would have thought this team can win the World Series. I'll end with this. The Blue Jays' chances of getting that first wild card would have been a whole lot easier if they were facing the 2021 Orioles and not the 2022 version. None of us saw this coming.
100%. The Orioles have turned in such a great season. And what's even more dangerous about them is they still have some top prospects that are not very far away and rank really high on numerous different prospect boards, whether you're looking at MLB.com or Baseball America. So not only are they threatening this year, which a lot of people were expecting, they're going to be threatening for years. And with the Blue Jays right now, right, they still have quite a few games to play against them, and they're not gimme games. They're not, you know, oh, the Blue Jays, they should win this, they should explode. Obviously, we believe they should because of a little bit of bias, maybe. But it's, when you look at the overall cards on the table, if you will, there is some wiggle room where, you know, the Orioles can muster wins easily, and that can really impact the Blue Jays and their playoff chances down the line.
Yep. Oh, 100%. Hey, Tyson, first, appreciate you doing the show. Where can people find your work?
Yeah, so Jays Journal, we're under the Fan Study Network at Jays Journal. We have a bunch of different contributors, as well as my other co-editor, Chris Henderson. We put out content pretty much every day, as well as I do writing for JustBaseball.com, as well as their Blue Jays go-to guy.
Perfect. Hey, appreciate you doing the show. And nerve-wracking is the right term. When it's a gorgeous Wednesday at 5 p.m. and I'm yelling at George Springer to please get a hit, nerve-wracking is the perfect way to describe it. Thanks so much for joining the show today.
Fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. 100%. It is Tyson Shushkowicz. And again, check out the work, jaysjournal.com, fansided.com as well.